Are you ready?
Yeah.
Oh?
Maybe.
I know. That's kind of a loaded question there. For those of you who were praying for me the past weeks, I thank you. And my wife thanks you. I never dreamed what would happen when I went to put up Christmas lights on a ladder in the backyard. It was a beautiful day. Beautiful day. Fantastic day. And I was up on this ladder, and the next thing I knew, I wasn't up on the ladder. And I was falling, and I was trying to break free of the ladder because I knew it wasn't going to be good. And I didn't. And so I landed, and being the person I am, I figured I'd just dust myself off and say, hopefully no one saw me do that, the neighbors. And I realized I couldn't get up. And so who else would you call in a time of need but our rector, Dan Morgan. So Dan came over and let my wife know that her husband was in the backyard laying on the ground. And I remember Dan coming back then and praying for me, and Claudia coming, and Claudia, being a registered nurse, she has this ability to be very compassionate and very objective. And I think her response was, looking at me on the ground, what do we have here? What do we have here? So to make a long story short, we moved into being taken to the hospital. And I'll be honest, I've never known such pain before. And and then the following day, the surgeon, they had a 2-for-the-price-of-1 deal going. So he replaced my hip in the socket and put in a plate and a bunch of screws to put my wrist back together. And I had these fractured ribs, and they quickly began to heal. But one of the things that I experienced in the hospital was being a mess. I was a mess. I was on pain medication after the surgery. I had no energy. I felt overwhelmed. I felt a spiritual warfare like I hadn't known in the past. And I felt a total brokenness and weakness in a way I hadn't before. And those are usually times that God comes to minister, but also to teach. And so one of the people attending to me from the hospital is just... all of the hospital staff is just fantastic. But there was this one woman who found out I was a pastor, a priest. And she couldn't stop asking me questions about the Bible. She just couldn't stop herself. And it's a sweet lady, and she took good care of me. And but she just couldn't stop asking. And I was feeling overwhelmed, and her questions actually were questions I'd never heard before. I'd never heard them before. And she said her family would be upset if they knew she was asking questions about the Bible. So, in my depravity, weakened, broken self, these things were happening. And so this one morning, 5 o'clock, I knew it was 5 o'clock because they had this clock right in front of my bed to let me know the time of day, because I was always wondering. That's sarcasm, by the way. That's not a gift of the Spirit. So 5 a.m., and this is dark, and she's asking me questions. And I'm trying to get my head wrapped around all that had happened and was going on. And again, I got to tell you, I don't think I've ever felt so weak before. And so without answers or anything to give away. And so this word from God came to me, though, in the midst of this brokenness and weakness. And the word was to ask this person, why do you think you're asking all these questions? And I thought, well, I don't have anything else to give. And sounds pretty cool. And so I said, well, why do you think you're asking all these questions? And her answer was, I don't know. And I said, well, I think that God's calling to you. I think God's reaching out to you. You have this hunger for answers because the Lord's put this in your heart. And I said, there are people like you that have been having dreams where Jesus has been coming to them in dreams. And I think that's your hunger is for the Lord. And I said, if and then the word came to ask her or to tell her that if you know the Lord, he'll begin to answer your questions. And I said, would you like to pray? And she said, oh, could we? And so at 5, by then it was about 5:12, if I remember correctly. I said, let's pray. And she wanted to pray. And so it wasn't a prayer to receive Christ at that moment. It was a prayer for the presence of the Lord to come to her. And just praying that naturally. And so in the midst of this, she just began to weep. She just began to weep. And she said, I didn't expect that to happen. And I said, well, that happens when the Lord shows up. And so I never saw her again. And I never saw her again. But I know God was making a huge deposit in connecting her to Jesus. But the thing that struck me was God was doing this when I had absolutely nothing of myself to offer. I absolutely had nothing of myself to offer. And so then I started to reflect on the scriptures and the Bible and just going through the history of Old Testament and New Testament. And I didn't read every page, by the way, but just reflecting. And I kept coming into this place of seeing this the way of God throughout the Old and New Testament was always calling people to do stuff, knowing full well they couldn't do it in themselves. God was always doing this. I was looking at my dear friend Moses. I call him my dear friend. We haven't met. We will someday, but to me, I just love what was going on with Moses. I'm glad it was him and not me. He said, but Moses said, the people among whom I number 600,000 on foot, and you have said, I will give them meat that they may eat a whole month. Shall flocks and herds be slaughtered for them and be enough for them? Or shall all the flesh of the sea be gathered together for them and be enough for them? And the Lord said to Moses, is the Lord's hand shortened? Now you shall see whether my word will come true for you or not. So Moses went out and told the people the word of the Lord. And he gathered the 70 men and of the elders of the people and placed them around the tent. Then the Lord came down in a cloud and spoke to him and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And as soon as the spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but they did not again. Now two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad and the other Medad, and the Spirit rested on them. They were among those registered, but they had not gone out to the tent, and so they prophesied in the camp. Now there's a thing that God's doing here. God is putting Moses in charge of the biggest mega church ever. 600,000 men. You just can't plan this stuff. This is so good. I'm kind of waiting for what's next. So, yeah, Moses. So, I love you, brother. That was so cool. So, Moses is the pastor of over 1 million people. Not only is he pastoring them, he's pastoring them in the desert where there's nothing. I mean, God has Moses in a place where he has absolutely nothing of himself to accomplish God's purposes. So what does God do? He says, well, Moses, I'm going to take of the Holy Spirit that is on you, and I'm going to also place it on 70 others, and they will have this power to help you lead the people. In other words, God was saying, I've called you, Moses, to do something, but you're not going to be able to do it. Isn't that wild? God says, I'm calling you to do this, but you're not going to be able to do it. So Moses, if you cry out to me, I, the Lord your God, I will personally, through the Holy Spirit, empower you and empower other people to be able to fulfill the call on your life that I've placed there. We see in the Old Testament many other times, and some of the examples are God calling David to be king and Saul to be king, and they had this experience of the Holy Spirit being put upon them because God knew that they could not do and operate in the call of God in their own stuff. And so God in his love says, I'm going to take of myself and I'm going to place myself in you through the Holy Spirit, and I will give you power and anointing and gifting to be able to do the things that I've called you to do. When we heard the gospel reading regarding Mary today, I picture the Virgin Mary. God says, Mary, you're going to give birth to the Son of God. Thank you. We have two shofars. Perfect. Yeah. Shofar, so good. Yep. That reminds me of a joke, but there's a squirrel running by, and my wife is saying, Scott, keep focused. And so here you have Mary, just an average teenager, but with a heart for God. Obviously a heart for God and an honest heart that says, how's this going to be? But again, you see this picture of God calling someone to be about something that they can't do in themselves. And so what does God do? He says, Mary, you know, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. God's going to do this work. But you and your weakness are being called, but you're not going to be able to do it yourself. All you can do is receive my power to be able to accomplish the things of God. In Joel, there's a prophecy, and it's a departure from the norm of what had been happening in the Old Testament. And the prophecy was, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and the female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit. You see, in the Old Testament, people were being called by God to be maybe a prophet or a king. And so the Holy Spirit was being given to them to empower them to fulfill the call that they couldn't do in themselves. But there's a prophecy here where the Lord starts to say, there's going to be a change in the future. And the change is this: I will pour out my spirit on all flesh.
Amen. Amen.
All flesh. God is saying it's not going to be just for the king or the prophet, but I'm going to make my spirit, the power of my spirit, available to be poured out upon all flesh, that all people could experience what it is to have God call them to do something or things that they can't do in themselves, and to experience a person saying yes to God and God saying, you've said yes, so now I'm going to pour out my spirit on you, and you're going to have supernatural power to be able to do that which God has called you to do. Elsewhere, Jesus says something frightening and awesome. He says to his disciples, truly I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. Greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. You're going to do, he says, the works that I've been doing. But even greater works are you going to do. The works of Jesus: healing, casting out demons, forgiving sins, showing grace to the alien and to the forgotten, loving the unlovable, multiplying food for the hungry, raising the dead. And so Jesus says, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. Whoever believes in me. Who does that include? Who does that include? Everyone, anyone who believes in him, Jesus says, you can do the works and will do the works that I do. Elsewhere, the disciples were hit with another hard one. When Jesus said, I'm calling you to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Who's he talking to? He's talking to disciples who have denied him, who are living in hiding. And Jesus all of a sudden says to these disciples who of themselves really don't have a whole lot to offer. But Jesus says to them in Luke 24, he says, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Again in Acts, it reads, and while staying with them, Jesus ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me, for John baptized you with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So you see, God again is doing this thing. He's calling disciples to be about a work they can't do in themselves, in their weakness, in their brokenness. I could just picture the disciples saying, okay, let's go, let's do it. Let's just start sharing Jesus. It'd be a failure. And they'd say, what happened? And God would say, because I asked you to wait until you were clothed with power from on high. And so God in his love once again calls the disciples to be about something they can't do in themselves. But then you have this moment where the disciples listen to the Lord and they say, okay, we're going to wait until the fulfillment of the coming and the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes to us before we step out, because we need the power of God. We need the power of God. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as of fire appeared on them and rested on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven, and at this sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one of them was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, on and on. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean? What does this mean?" Peter begins to preach. And what does he refer to? He refers to Joel. And Peter says, "And in the last days it shall be, God declares, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams." In other words, the prophecy that was back in the Old Testament, now we see it coming to fruition. The Holy Spirit, God is saying, now the Holy Spirit is being poured out upon all people. So that all people, when they have God calling them into ministry or into whatever direction of their life, God says they can't do it in themselves, but I'm going to pour out the Spirit so that they can be filled with the Holy Spirit and be able to do the things that they could not do in themselves. That was my experience in the hospital. I had absolutely nothing to offer. I even looked bad. It was bad. I need a shower. I mean, it was bad. But God says, that's no problem. If you look to me to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I will give you power to be able to do the things I call you to do. After the people heard Peter preaching, it talked about, now when they heard that, they were cut to the heart, the people hearing, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." It's for everyone. It's for everyone. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is God's greatest gift, not greatest gift. It's one of his greatest gifts for everyone. Because God has this thing. He loves to call people to do things they can't do. And for some of us, myself not included. For some of us, we have this thing that we keep trying to do things in ourselves. And God says, "How's it working?" Dr. Phil took that from God. "How's it working? How's it working?" And God says, "You know, I love you so much. I want you to partner with me in the ministry that I'm doing in the world today, that I'm doing in the church today. But get over yourselves trying to think that you're going to pull it off. I was talking to the spouse of a pastor a few weeks ago, and he was lamenting about how few people were at church that day and how bad he felt because God seemed to be doing some neat things, but the people weren't there. And I said, you know, you can't compete with these other churches around you. They've got nativity scenes with real animals. They've got big Sunday schools, and they've got a ministry group for every problem in the world today, for every person. And you can't compete with that. But I said, you know, God can. If God's called the church to exist, then he wants to pour out his power and his life in order for that church to be filled with power. And so don't worry about competing with the other churches, because you can't. You'll never catch up. They're ahead of you in the game. It's going to require God the Holy Spirit empowering us. Jesus also said, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Amen. The thing about the baptism of the Holy Spirit is that there's initial time of being filled with the Holy Spirit, empowered with the Holy Spirit. But the Lord also is saying to the church, it doesn't happen only once. In the book of Acts, we see the time of persecution that was beginning to come upon the church, and the people are together praying and crying out to God, and it says the place where they were standing was shaken, and the Holy Spirit all started to fill people again. So for the church, there's an invitation for everyone to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And it starts with, Lord, I just love you. I want to serve you in whatever thing you call me to be about. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. The promise was for the disciples and for the believers of all, but it's a promise for you and me. It's a promise also for you and me that as we say yes to Jesus, that the Lord says, how much more will I give the Spirit to those who ask? That's you and me today. I'm tired and I'm weary, but I'm so happy with the Holy Spirit right now because I didn't think I could stand this long. Amen. But the Holy Spirit's good. God's good. Isn't he good? And God wants to do things today. So what I'm going to suggest is that prayer teams come up. And we're going to ask the Father to pour out the Holy Spirit. Amen. On anyone that wants more of the Holy Spirit today. You're saying yes to Jesus. You want to go with Jesus. And the Lord wants to pour out more of the Holy Spirit. So let's all stand. And worship team will lead us in some music. And we'll invite people just to come up. And we'll pray for more of the Holy Spirit. Roger and Gretz, would you join us?
Don't hesitate to come forward just for a fresh infilling, a fresh outpouring of what God wants to do in your lives.
Mm-hmm. Amen. I just thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're hovering over this congregation today, that you're hovering right now, and there are things that you're going to pour out into our lives. There are those of us that have come to the end of our rope, realizing our weakness and brokenness to be able to do the things that you call us to. And you've just been waiting for us to surrender to you today again, Lord, and to receive all that you want to pour into our lives. So we say, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, right now.